Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church in Sydney, Ohio. We welcome you as you join us in worshiping today. We begin our service with a brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. My King should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do. Let me honor you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children, and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The first lesson is from the 17th chapter of Acts. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Thanks be to God." The second lesson is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. "Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for what is doing right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
The Holy Gospel according to John, from the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. A little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, wait, that was last week, wasn't it? Okay, well, think about it, though. Maybe graduation is a happy day for mothers also. You're seeing the results of the efforts to raise a responsible citizen. And like I said last week, it can also be a sad day. Your baby is getting ready to leave the nest. I really enjoy watching the photos of the eaglets in Carillon Park in Dayton. Orb and Willa have set on the eggs, which hatched out on March the 15th. And now these three babies are starting to get rid of their gray baby fuzz, and they're getting some real feathers. Soon, they're going to get kicked out of the nest. Yeah, literally. And it will, in the minute following that rude move, they will become gliders and hopefully flyers. All are watching for that day as we keep checking the cam. Now, your offspring are getting ready to leave the nest, hopefully not kicked out, and go fly. The eagles, when the young one makes that first trip right alongside the Orv and Willa, will travel right along beside them as if to say, "Here, watch this. I'm with you." The little ones know they are not alone. So during this time of pandemic, humans leaving the nest carry a higher level of anxiety than it would otherwise. For the child, there's a certain amount of, "I'm out of here. I want to go do something else." But there's also a certain amount of wanting to know someone has their back. Where's my backup? Just like Orv and Willa flying with the babies. Today we need to listen to Jesus' words carefully. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Our faith may actually intensify the desire to escape from this world. But this is not what Jesus would have us do. Having a vision of what is holy and good, the Holy Spirit within us hungers for a community and a life that allows us to be away from the clamor and conflict that is so prevalent in our world. We want to be away from the fear of this virus in our world, the violence in our world, and whatever is causing fear. For both parents and graduates, we want to know what are our options. We all want to have options. The history of Christianity is filled with stories of the faithful and their attempts to get away. Some would go to monasteries, to convents. There were various reform movements, communal living utopias, retreat centers, small groups centered on prayer, as they attempted to reclaim the practice of primitive Christianity, as was interpreted to them by some charismatic leader. While each of these efforts developed in a particular shape, each were efforts to create a space that was not tied to this world, that would allow for a fuller realization of a faithful, more faithful, holy life. We are struggling to find a space in our world where we can feel safe, a space where we can relax and commune with God. In the Gospel of John, it appears that the desire to live apart from the world arose even in this first century community. As believers were approaching the end of the first century, conflict with authorities was increasing, and the members of John's community were understandably attracted to a life of faith that would disengage them from the powers that were opposed to the gospel. How good would it be to feel, to be able to retreat into their own group, to recall the stories of Jesus, to sense his presence in their lives with their meals of bread and wine, to enjoy each other's supportive fellowship, and to no longer have to defend their beliefs and practices in a hostile world. As we look around, we're still living in that hostile world. The message that Jesus was giving the disciples in this week's gospel was meant for us today. Jesus tells us that he is that place, and that a place need not be a physical place, but a relationship with him. Jesus in our lives provides an alternative to a physical retreat from the world, and yet not giving in to the pressures of the world. Again and again, we read that Jesus tells the disciples, "Do not be afraid." He is telling us that the world does not need to shape your essential identity, your faith, or your values. But at the same time, Christ is absolutely clear that there's no escape of the reality of living in the world. Christ speaks to us in the same word where we live, in the same world where we live and where we find a community. Yes, we do find joy in our communities. But no, the community is not for us to abandon the world. As we're in this midst of season of graduation and sending our children out into the world, I think a valid prayer can be made by parents who know that what the world is and are seeking protection for their children. The disciples of Christ were regarded as children of the Father, who were soon to be without the daily comforting presence of Jesus. So as we send our children off to colleges, to military service, to marriages, to jobs, whatever, they will not have the same closeness as living under the same roof with mom and dad. You've tried hard to raise them in a faith in Christ and in God, but we fear for them as they leave our presence and go into the world. We pray that they will not become of the world. Christ keeps reiterating the point over and over. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. As they leave, we will keep in contact, flying beside them, just like Orv and Willa do. But they fly on their own wings, not our wings. Instead of retreating from the world, Christ offers an alternative model that can empower each of us and our children in a particular way to live in the world without succumbing to its values and pressures. We are to stay in the world under the protective care of God. We are to live amidst all the knotted complexities of the world without getting ourselves entangled in them. The holiness that we might have hoped to achieve by escaping from the world will not be found through disengagement, but by the action of God and the immersion that we have in God's Word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth, O God. Christ recognizes our desire to be holy, but reorients the directions of our yearnings, turning us to the truth of God's Word that is revealed in the here and now in this world. Our presence in the world is connected to our life in Christ. He prays to the Father, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." In one clean and clear verse, Christ reminds each of us that the church in general, that he came to our world and the pattern of his own life, was not to escape from the world, but to engage with the world, with all of its distorted powers and pressures. John's message to remain in the world is addressed to us all, both then and now, who for good reason are exhausted by the world we live in. And unfortunately, some are ready to be done with it. You must be bringing them hope in the life of Christ. Jesus connects our contemporary exhaustion with the world's ceaseless violence and corruption, and the frequent feelings of despair over the inability to make a difference with a life in Christ. Think now about someone who's just returned from a vacation. That was one of the escapes that you can come up with. Maybe a cruise, a retreat, a second home. They might look well rested with restored energy. And they may have said, "Oh, if I could only keep this all year long." We're glad for them that they've had such a splendid vacation. They deserved it. But today's message presents for all of us something more enduring than a good vacation. When we realize that we have Christ's presence with us, it will allow us to live vitally and faithfully in the world each day and not be owned by it, but fully engaged with the world and its wounds, and be energized each day by the truth of God's Word. By the truth was sent to in the world that we all might have more abundant life here and now. Our prayer this day should be as we send out our children into the world, that they strive to make a difference for the kingdom of God, not just themselves. Jesus' message is, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." You don't have to know where you're going if you just let God lead the way. Remember, Jesus told us that he will never leave us. Jesus ties the promise of his continued presence to be the anxious situation that the disciples faced. Jesus acknowledged to the disciples that he would soon depart from them, but he reassured them that they will continue to see him, though the world will not. Jesus does not give them hope of a distant future in which he will return, but an immediate hope of continuing to know him, even though he's not physically present with them on earth. Now, 2,000 years later, we can have Jesus in us, and we have the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to guide us. This is Jesus with us. The unity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now, let us go into the world, live in the world, change the world for others, but do not be of the world. As Orv and Willa say, it's time to fly. Amen. I wanted to honor our graduates this year, so I was able to get some pictures. And so we have Brianna Conrad, who graduated from Sydney High School. She's going to be going to Bowling Green University, majoring in pre-law. Hayden Davies graduated from Anna High School. He's going to the University of Northwestern Ohio, majoring in automotive management. Tyler Kice has graduated from Houston High School. He's going to Wright State University at the main campus, majoring in medical science. His brother Ryan was also a graduate of Houston High School. He's still working on what is coming up in the fall. T.J. Leonard graduated from Sydney High School, is going to Ohio State University, the Lima campus, studying in business administration. Cole Pitchford graduated from Houston High School. He's going to Wright State University, the main campus, majoring in criminal justice. Erin Stevens graduated from Sydney High School, and she's going to the University of Toledo, and majoring in journalism with a minor in art history. Trey Wernz graduated from Sydney High School, is going to Tiffin University, majoring in sports management, and probably going to work in a little golf in that. Reese Wilson graduated from Sydney High School. She's going to the University of Kentucky, majoring in neuroscience. We also had some college graduates this year. Carrie Blest graduated with a Master of Arts in Education from Bluffton University. Caitlin Davis graduated with a BS in Data Analytics from The Ohio State University. Jennifer Faree graduated magna cum laude from the University of Toledo. She studied speech and language pathology and will return there in the fall. Those are our graduates this year. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, and for us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and he became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scripture, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we're uplifted by God's promise of hope, healing, and resurrection, let us join the people of God in praying for all of creation. God with us, you revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lift up your church, that we will reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. O God, incline your ear to us. Revitalize all that you've created, the oceans, the rivers, the lakes, the springs, the glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to all of your creatures. O God, incline your ear to us. You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. Right now we are very lost. Guide us each day along the path that you choose. O God, incline your ear to us. Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to hold our baptismal promises dearly, and to work for justice and advocate for the voiceless, free the oppressed, and imprison the body and mind or spirit. O God, incline your ear to us. Healing God, give wisdom to those working to find a cure for this virus that is a plague for the whole world. Let their discoveries be available to all people soon. We place this burden on you. O God, incline your ear to us. Today we celebrate those who have completed academic achievements. Give them solace that even though they did not have a traditional graduation, they are honored. Be with them as they move on to the next phase of their lives, jobs, more education, military service. Let them know that you are with them. O God, incline your ear to us. You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us. Today we're remembering Dottie Morgan. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. O God, incline your ear to us. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Thank you for those of you who have been mailing in your offering envelopes. That we've seen an upswing in the income, and that is greatly appreciated. Please keep doing it. Let us pray for those offerings. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings as you've raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we've been brought together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Holy Spirit guide you each day as you walk along your life's journey. Go fly. Rejoice in the risen Christ and take the message of hope to all you encounter. Go in peace. This is the gospel. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Set free. you've done for me.